Ebenezer Church family, welcome to Ebenezer Online, 10 a.m. So glad you're here to join us this morning to get a word from the Lord. So many wonderful things going on at our church, so I'm going to let my husband tell you all about them.
Just so happy to have Bianca with me starting off today. Lord has definitely been good. I just want to thank you for staying connected to our virtual platform, ebcnc.com. Where so much is going on during the week. We've got our Monday Bible studies, Tuesday noonday Bible studies, Wednesday Bible studies, and a plethora of other things that are going on. So please check that website out. Thank you for downloading the app. Also, thank you for your giving and whatever form or shape that takes place. Some of you are using the app to give. Some of you are sending in our secure mailbox. Some of you are in our in-person services. Thank you. But remember, giving goes far beyond that. Giving is reaching out to others, loving on one another, calling one another, encouraging. We've had some to go to the hospital and come out of the hospital and deal with things in their lives. And it is so important that we encourage one another. Well, I'm thinking about the scriptures that we're going to get into. And as we're on this first Sunday, we're going to take communion today too. Just thinking about the blood of Jesus. Let us prepare our hearts as we think about how good God has been. See you soon.
Morning, church. You all know for a few weeks there I had that stick with me. And God delivered me from that, kicked that to the curb. So, you know, that's a blessing. And also, Pastor can't call me old anymore. Anyway, I'll be reading out of Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word.
Whatever you need,
God's got it.
My God's got it.
God's got it.
Whatever you need,
God's got it.
My God's got it.
God's got it.
He's got
love,
joy, peace, joy, happiness for your soul. Whatever you need,
God's got it.
Everything you need, everything,
everything you need.
Whatever you need,
God's got it.
My God's got it.
God's got it.
Whatever you need,
God's got it.
My God's got it.
Happiness for your soul.
pray you know that Jesus is the best thing that has ever happened to you and me. Our Lord has been so wonderful and so gracious to us all, and I pray that we not forget it, especially as we've been going through this series on distractions and fears. Been examining myself, and I have been seeing so many distractions popping up as the enemy just tries to keep us off track. And I pray that you have been looking at your life and you've been staying in the Word, you've been praying more, that we can fulfill the mission that God has called us to. Remember in this series, we had that memory scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And we're going to fight. We're going to fight through this with the help of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to win. Remember, all things are possible to those that believe. Before we go any further, let's go on a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for this day that you've made. Lord, thank you for your mercies and your kindness. I want to pray for those who are looking and listening in. Lord, if there's someone who's not saved, would you help today be their day, that they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know it's by grace through faith and not of themselves. It is a gift from you. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Therefore, Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Just give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's go to Luke 9:47. Luke 9:47. It reads, "And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him." That Luke 9:47 again. "And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him." I want to speak from a subject today, heart trouble. Heart trouble. As we enter into this section of scripture, the time frame is about 33 AD, which Jesus is getting close to going to Calvary for us. Here within this section of scripture, there has been a lot of things that have happened. Christ's fame is actually growing because of the miracles, the signs, and the wonders. He's just recently encountered a demon-possessed young boy that could not be delivered by the disciples, but Jesus steps in and delivers him, and he really brings the disciples an awareness that he is the Christ, he is the anointed one. He also prophesies of his coming death, which has really shaken up the disciples. But in the midst of all these teachings and seeing these miracles, now God takes them to another level to understand what's deep on the inside. That's why we're talking about heart trouble. Heart trouble that we're going to be dealing with is a spiritual level. You can't take medication for it. You can't have surgery for it. This is something only can be eradicated by God's presence and His Spirit. Let me show you in Luke 9:46. "Then a dispute arose amongst them as to which of them would be the greatest." Now, isn't that amazing? We talked about, they've seen miracles. They have come and had an awareness of things that they could not do, that only Christ could do because of the struggles that were on the inside. But yet we find out in here, this first point arises, pride. Yes, pride. They have so much pride, and we are challenged with this in our lives. And again, this is a foundational point of why the enemy can come in with so many distractions and fears in our lives, because we depend on ourselves so much. As we look at this particular scripture really closely, please, we find out that they are disputing. They are caught up within themselves. They're actually fighting. They were not kingdom-minded, but they had the mind of the world. I believe that so many of our distractions and fears, as it says before, this pride rises up within us. And when we get caught up in ourselves, we are distracted. We're not seeing God's way. Jesus had already taught them in Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." But yet they're still striving to be more than they really are. That 34th verse, "Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. How many times is our heart trouble evident with us trying to control things, trying to fix things? But now they are again fighting over who is the greatest. But we know all of us have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God. We know all of us have struggles. And so when we try to raise ourselves to higher heights than somebody else, we have really become distracted by the enemy. Isn't that a picture of our society? Isn't that a picture of the struggle that we are going through from day in and day in, out with ourselves? How can we make more money? Who can live in the best houses? Who can wear the best clothes? All of these things are indicative of the heart trouble that resides in us all. But 1 John 2:16 really summarizes this. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. I want you to really examine yourself and ask yourself this question. How much world is in us? Yes, how much world is in you and how much world is in me? Because God wants to take that out, that we can make it through these distractions and fears. And at the end of our lives, we can hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Heart trouble. Look at Luke 9:47. And Jesus, perceiving the thought of their heart, took a little child and set him by him. Here's another point. Jesus knows your heart. You might want to write that down in the chat. Jesus knows my heart. Yes, he knows our heart. Man, we can fool other people from time to time, but Jesus knows what's deep on the inside. Notice they are disputing amongst themselves. Pride has risen up within them. They want to know who is the greatest. Christ doesn't answer. He doesn't deal with that right now. He brings in a little lovable prophet. This point, he brings in a little child. I think we would be surprised when we compare ourselves to little kids, you know, before they get to the point of really understanding sin and that nature coming. All of us were conceived in iniquity. We understand that, but there's a sweet part of a child, and Jesus brings that child in there. But this comparison is to the struggles that are going on within the disciples. Jeremiah 17:9 really gives us a picture of what's going on. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? These disciples are showing that. Jeremiah 17:10, I the Lord search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. I'm talking about heart trouble. Jesus is perceiving what is going on deep down within their hearts. And so now he's given this example to really, really show the light of and try to get them to understand what they're actually doing. Look at this. He took a little child and set him by him. This is a contrast to them. They're caught up in pride. They're disputing on who is the greatest. So he takes this child, which is a picture of humility. They were so distracted, but they did not realize that the answer to their struggle was right in front of them. George Harrison, he wrote this, "You can be standing right in front of the truth and not necessarily see it, and people only get it when they're ready to get it." Isn't that heavy? Listen to this again. You can be standing right in front of the truth and not necessarily see it, and people only get it when they're ready to get it. This is heavy. I remember growing up and I was in a mom and dad's house, and there were some times my dad would want me to get a tool, a hammer, and he would say, "Go to my tools and get that." And I would be looking, be like, you know, go get me a hammer. And I would, all these tools were there, and it was amazing. There were some times I would just kind of lock up, and the hammer would be right there in front of me, but I couldn't see it. And then it made it worse when he was like, "It's right there, it's right there," and I'm like, "I can't see it, I can't see it." How often within our lives is the solution right in front of us, but because the distractions and pressures and we're caught up amongst ourselves, we don't see that solution. Look at Luke 9:48, and said to them, "Whoever receives this little child in my name receives me,
And whoever receives me receives him who sent me, for he who is least among you all will be great. We already talked about this, but I want to solidify this in a point: humility. Yes, humility. Let me define that, because this is important, especially in our day, in our society. I think sometimes we have just lost this definition. Humility is defined as a modest or low view of one's own importance or humbleness. In our society, we really don't celebrate humility. We celebrate people who are caught up within themselves, people who really shine, who are out front, who are movers and shakers in the sense of that, but not those humble. The humble people, they actually get ran over many times in our society, but Jesus makes a point that these disciples can understand. The disciples were not walking in this humility. They were not. True greatness is seen in a loving care for the little ones, for those who are helpless, for those whom the world passes by. McDonald said that very powerful. That's what true greatness is. True greatness is able to get past ourselves, past what we want, and really see those who are hurting or see those who are less fortunate and be able to reach out. I found out in life, we miss out so often on the little things. My kids, as they've gotten older and have grown up, they often talk about the things or the impacts that were made on their lives by people. And what I found out, that the impacts of people really were crucial in their lives. And I would kind of talk to them and they would talk to me. It was those people that took time when they were little kids to actually talk to them and to learn their names and to actually engage them. And that's important. Oftentimes we can look over little kids. We can just run by them because we're looking for those who are more important or have more control. But my kids said it was powerful in their lives when an adult took time to learn their name and to talk to them and really saw them as a person. Here, Christ is doing something. He's saying there's a little kid in front of you and you're arguing, you're disputing amongst yourself, but you're missing out that I'm showing you something great within this child. Matthew 18:4 says, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. How often have we missed out because of distractions and fears what God has been trying to teach us? How we can be so distracted and we can get caught up and want the high seats and desire all the things of this world. Jesus taught in Luke 14:8, and when you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place. Luke 14:10. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. But look at this 11th verse. This is powerful. This is what Jesus is showing the disciples. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. I'm talking about heart trouble. This is a directive for all of us that we need to walk in this humility and understand we are battling with these distractions, and the enemy knows how to prick us and prod us and get us to the point of not seeing what's important. Look at Luke 9:49. Now John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow us. Here's another point. Distracted by position. Distracted by position. Now, I want you to hold the context here. Remember, Jesus has used this child as a prop, this loving child here, to teach them something about humility. And so they actually miss it because they're still caught up within themselves. And John speaks out on their behalf. And in that, he's saying, hey, there's someone else. Look at this. Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he does not follow with us. They're caught up still within the themselves. Jesus is trying to really bring them to the point of letting them realize that it's not about you, but they're so caught up within their positions or perceived position. Now, this is important to know. They were thinking that somehow that they were great, that they had worked for this position to be with Jesus, but they had forgotten it was Christ that chose them. It was Christ's fame. It was Christ's miracles, signs, and wonders that were bringing the people. It wasn't about them at all. And we have to remember Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. As we walk in our lives in order to counteract our heart troubles, we have to realize if it had not been for God on our sides, are there any hallelujahs out there? If it had not been for God's grace and his mercy, we would have been gone a long time ago. But God has allowed us to be here, and we have to understand how to fight through these distractions and fears. Basically, they were saying to these other people who were doing works in the name of Jesus, if you don't do it our way, then it's not important. If you don't follow us, then it's not important. Please understand, Christ is so big, and he can use whomever he wants to use. Paul wrote this in Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given to me, and everyone who was among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. How are you thinking about yourself right now? What are the thoughts that are propagating on the inside about who you are? Saints of God, we have to come to the point, and the only way we're going to win this battle is to come and fall flat on our face before the Lord and say, God, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for delivering me, and I thank you for working on my heart. Look at Luke 9:50. But Jesus said to him, do not forbid him, for he who is not against us is on our side. Final point. Who is on the Lord's side? Yes. Who is on the Lord's side? Now notice we've got the child. Child is still there. All these things are coming. John had kind of tried to deflect the teaching at this point. But Jesus is like, hey, we're all in this together. I have done this that the reality can come of my miracle powers and the power of my name. We all understand, and we talk of some of that. There's something about the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. It's because his entity and his connection and what he's done for us and what he's doing for the world even now. So often we can be distracted and we get caught up in infights and we fight over stuff that doesn't matter to anybody or anything. You ever been there? You ever went in a long discussion with somebody, and then at the end of that, after all the waits of time, you found out you're both really talking about the same thing, but you had a different perspective on it? So often our heart trouble rises up and we find ourselves off track. The disciples are still caught up. Remember when I introduced, they're caught up that they couldn't cast out the demon with that boy, but Jesus came in, so their pride had been hurt and they were trying to build themselves up. And God, dude, Jesus is just saying, all you have to do is depend on the Messiah, because he is the one that does the miracles. He is the one that is the deliverer. John, actually, he was trying to deflect everything he said before, but sometimes we can find ourselves in the midst of this smoke of life where the enemy just kind of runs circles around us. But are there any glad folks to say, thank God for Jesus? Mark 9:39 gives us an insight. It's a parallel scripture. Says, but Jesus said, do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. Mark 9:40, for he who is not against us is on our side. That's what Jesus is saying, coming from that little children, coming to this point. He's saying, you know what? I am trying to get everybody on the right side, and I'm the right side. Mark 9:41, for whoever gives you a cup of water to drink in my name because you belong to Christ, surely I say to you, he will by no means lose his reward. Hallelujah. In that 42nd verse, heart trouble, but whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea." You see that this was a total teaching that Christ was bringing to his disciples, that they could understand what it really meant to be great within the kingdom. And Jesus had not forgotten about the little child, even though the disciples were caught up in so many things. How many times in our lives, and this is on the physical sense, have we lost it, or we did something and we didn't realize that little children were looking at us, little children were following our examples, whether good or bad. And God is saying in here, we have to deal with the heart trouble. God help us, and God help our country. As we stop here today, please understand, I just want you to know that we need to thank God for Jesus. He is our ultimate example of dealing with our heart trouble. Paul writes us a comparison of what Christ has done for us in Philippians 2:5. It said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." And then Philippians 2:8, this is powerful, "And being found in the appearance as of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross." Are you so glad for a God that would come and show himself and show us how to deal with heart trouble? Yes, at Calvary, he died for us. He died for our heart trouble, taking nails in his hands and nails in his feet for us. But I can confidently say that our heart troubles are cured when we lean on the Lord, because of Hebrews 12:2, looking into the Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Yes, he died on the cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave, but he got up 3 days later with all power and glory to help us with our heart trouble. Yes, I am glad today, because I can tell you Romans 8:34 says, "Who is he who condemned? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." Are there any shouts of praise? God has dealt with our heart trouble, but I want to bring it home with Philippians 2:9. "Therefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that it, at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." There ought to be some shouts of praise and know that we can depend on the Lord. And when the distractions and fears that are rooted in our heart trouble come our way, we can lift up our hands and say, "When I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's already done for me and all that he's working us," we can give God some praise and we can say hallelujah. Are there any thankful saints out there to thank God for dealing with our heart trouble? Yes, we all have them. Issues that rise that are connected with our heart trouble. The sin that's so deep. But I'm so glad that as we look at the scriptures today, that Jesus dealt with his disciples as they disputed amongst themselves about who would be the greatest. And taking that little child, he shows them and shows us what humility is all about. Saints, we're living in a world that really is exalting itself. People are depending on themselves. And because of that, we're seeing deep darkness come into our nation, deep darkness come in our world. But saints, God has allowed us to be here, and he wants his light to shine through us. But the only way that's going to happen, we have to go to him and realize if it had not been for him on our side, we would be nothing. As we walk in this life, no matter how high up he takes us, we always have to remember, if it had not been for him on our side, if he suffers us to go through some low situations, even in those lowest situations, we can know that God is still faithful, because even in the worst of situations, God is still faithful, because it's all about him. If you're looking, listening in a day and you don't know Jesus, that's your first step. Your heart trouble is deeply rooted. Only he can fix it. confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you will be saved. I pray today you do that and a change will come in your life. For the saints, I want you to pray, God, search me. David said it like this, creating me a clean heart, renewing me a right spirit within me. Oh, that that be our prayer. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for these scriptures. Thank you, God, how you teach us. Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Lord, forgive us of our sins for the times that we have exalted ourselves. We thought that we were great, Lord, and we missed out on the small things. We missed out on your little children, Lord, being an example. But most importantly, we missed out because we did not give ourselves to you. Lord, I pray today that we humble ourselves before you. Oh, that you be lifted up. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. Father, thank you for your son that's paid it all for us, paid it all for our heart trouble. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, there is something inside of me telling me to go ahead. Something inside of me telling me to go ahead. Something inside of me telling me to go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Let me say that again. Something inside of me telling me to go ahead. Something inside of me is telling me to go ahead. Something inside of me telling me to go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. I feel it all over me telling me to go ahead. I feel it all over me telling me to go ahead. I feel it all over me telling me to go ahead. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. You know what? There are days when I'm burdened and I feel so depressed. Sometimes I get tired because I'm under so much stress. But something on the inside makes me feel brand new. And it's telling me to get up, 'cause you got work to do. Oh, I feel it down in my soul, telling me to go ahead. I feel it down in my soul. Telling me to go ahead. I feel it down in my soul. Telling me, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. Let me say that one more time. There are days when I'm burdened and I feel so depressed. Sometimes I get tired because I'm under so much stress. But something on the inside makes me feel brand new. And it's telling me to get up, 'cause you got work to do. Oh, it must be the Holy Ghost telling me to go ahead. It must be the Holy Ghost. Yeah, it's telling me to go ahead. It must be the Holy Ghost telling me, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead.
Thank you so much for just connecting with us with communion at this time. Communion is so, so important. Whether you're in person with us or on this virtual platform, I have heard so many people just be blessed by being able to take communion within their homes and to realize that God's presence can be there. I've been reading some books on John Calvin and the Reformation. And this is one of the things that, he really spoke out for, that we can have a personal relationship with Christ. You don't need the Pope to give you communion. You don't need someone else to be your sacrifice here on earth. We have a sacrifice, and it's Jesus. We don't need other saints to kind of pray us into heaven. No, it's about Jesus and what he's done for us. And this is what we have communion, that we can celebrate him. Well, I pray that you got your articles together, some bread and some juice. And I really want you to examine yourself. We're going to talk about that in the scriptures today. Prepare yourself to go into communion. So I'm going to ask my wife just to open us up in prayer, that she pray over our bread and pray over our juice, that our hearts can be ready to receive this communion today. Bianca.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for this bread and this juice that represent your body and your blood that was broken and spilled on the cross of Calvary for our sins. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for all that you've done for us. And we do this in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Paul the Apostle, being led of the Lord, really gives us a profound picture of what we're doing with communion. 1 Corinthians 11:23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me.'" And then it makes that a transition, "For often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do it, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." But there's some scriptures that really bring us into examination of taking this. Bianca, that 27th verse.
"Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep."
This is critical. Just listening to that, hearing that, we could be sick because we are not forgiving. We're not letting things go. "For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and some sleep." Some have even died. So we want to make sure, and I encourage you right now, man, you can pause it and say, "Man, I need to call such and such. I need to text, ask for forgiveness," to make sure everything is right. And I'm glad about the end part of the scripture. It says, "As we think about him, for if we judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we're chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world." So as we've asked God for forgiveness, we reached out to others. Now we can take this communion with a clean heart in the Lord. So I want you to grab those articles, and I want you to think about Christ as he's in that Passover before he's crucified. He's up in that upper room, and he picks up that bread and he breaks it. He says, "This is my body, which is broken for you, or will be broken for you. As often as we eat, let us do it in remembrance of him. Let us eat together." He picks up that goblet of wine that would generally be shared amongst them. So "This represents my blood that's going to be shed for you. As often as you drink it, let us do it in remembrance of me. Let us drink together." Aren't you glad for the blood of Jesus? Aren't you glad that truly is the only thing that can wash us as white as snow? As you're going through your day, as you're going through your week, I want you to walk in such a way that God will be glorified, that the cross will be lifted up, that people will know there is a Savior. And you know what? He is coming back again. I want you to be encouraged. Walk in him. Until we meet again, you be blessed.